we still are taking a side trip from Luke 12, and we're about to study Matthew 3, so let's go there. Is it really hot in here, or is it just me?
You walk outside a minute, though.
I did. I did the pickup rounds.
Without your coat.
Huh?
Without your coat.
No, I had my coat.
Well, if you go outside without a coat, you'll be
out. Oh. All right. Matthew 3. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." The same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan while confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers," or "O sons of the snake, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down." Now, now the axe is laid to the root of the tree is the end of the human race. That's what that means. It's a metaphor. Boom. Or the end of the race that was of the generation of vipers, the sons of the snake. Have you thought any more about what we talked about yesterday, about the last few days, no independent self?
Yeah.
What?
No conclusions. Just
we could go all over the place in Colossians 3, now you are dead. And Romans 6, you are buried into death to his baptism. All over the place. But his death was cosmic, just as the fall was cosmic. It altered the human race and it altered the universe. Now let's look at the instructions to Israel. That was the parable and the promised land. So let's go to Isaiah 30. Right there. "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and not have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadows of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion." Now what does it mean to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. That means you go back to the world system for anything, and have not asked at my hand. You just do it, because it's the natural thing to do. Now let's look at a little stronger version, Isaiah 31.
Point there where you stop trusting God. It's just
right. It's whether it's cause and effect or the strength of Egypt.
You need more than you have. It's all these forces. Isaiah 31.
Yeah. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Now the horses and the chariots and the horsemen, they're all parables for the system that was in play in Egypt and now is in play in the world. Whether it's capitalism, whether it's democracy, whether it's any form of thought, finance, system, anything, that is what's in play in the world system at the time you read this. But the point of it is, it's not saying you shouldn't do it, but to me it's saying that you need to repent and saying you don't know what else to do. We've talked about this so many times. But when you do it and justify yourself in doing it, God help you.
Well, it's like doing it and separating yourself from God. It says very clearly, without my counsel, seek others' counsel.
Well, what does it mean? What does that mean? You return to the system for whatever it is, and that's called fornication. You return to cause and effect. The other parable that's coming out of Babylon. Can you imagine? I mean, we can't even imagine not using the things we've learned how to do. So we continue them, and we continue doing that, and we think that we're doing it in the name of God. But we're not. We're going back to Egypt or Babylon for our sustenance. Can everybody understand that? It's faith alone, and whatever is not of faith is sin. Now the sin is lessened if you take the lowest seat and you say, Father, I don't know what else to do. This is what it seems that it's necessary to do. But I'm willing to do anything that you say. But that's not what happens. You do it, and then you justify it in your own minds. And it's almost automatic. Because you're still operating, and back to what we're studying, by the guidance of the prince of the power of the air instead of faith in God and his providence. Remember the all these tells that help us see where we are. Yeah. If whatever you esteem is esteemed by the world, you know you've gone astray. If there's anyone you haven't forgiven from the heart, any situation, anything at all that you haven't forgiven from the heart, then it pulls you away from faith. Any judgments that you have against anyone that aren't confessed, it pulls you away from faith. Any anxiety whatsoever pulls you away from faith. And you, when the moment you're pulled away from faith, it's because you think that God has forsaken you. Is that clear?
Yeah. Talk about this part where he says, you go down, but not at my mouth. You go to Egypt. It's like,
you just do it automatically, just as you did your whole life. Rather than living by faith, you're still living by the world system. When you say out of his mouth, that just simply means you confessed it as sin. But if you don't think it's sin, you can't confess it.
It says that walk to go down to Egypt and not ask at my mouth. So well,
it's the same. It means you haven't said, Father, forgive me. You haven't seen the evil of trusting in the Egyptian system or in the world system for anything.
Sounds to me like it's, he doesn't care what you do, but don't separate yourself from him.
No. It says, woe unto you that do that.
That go down and don't take counsel of him. That's what it looks like. Very cool.
All right. Let's go back to 30. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. You can't return to Egypt in God's name. You can only return as a confession that of your weakness of faith, you don't know what else to do. But if you just blithely go down to Egypt and use the world systems or Babylon systems for your life, then you just, well, I'm doing it in God's name. No, you're not. Because you're justifying it by saying, I'm going down and God is with me. It's not a faith. Let's go to Revelation 18. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk. All people is what of nations is the same for people, have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. If the Egypt world was a parable, and it says many times it is, to the world system, and if cause and effect is the parable of living in Babylon and having on the Babylonian garment, then you've got to hear this. Come out of her, my people. touch not the unclean thing. You don't make the unclean thing clean by saying it's clean. You don't do sin because you say you're doing it in the name of God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the spirit of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature, by automatic, the children of wrath, even as others. Does that penetrate? Jesus called the disciples that believed in him, you sons of the serpent, you sons of Satan. Because they're doing what was done by nature. Jude and 2 Peter call them brute beasts when you do what is done by the natural order of things, your senses. Go to Genesis 6. Just one verse, verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That hasn't changed. Go to Genesis 8. Verse 21. They just gotten out of the ark. And Noah had made a sacrifice of a clean beast on the altar of the Lord. Then God said, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth.
Wait, you're on, you said Acts 21.
Oh, I'm sorry, okay. Yeah, this thing is so intense in me, I forget what I'm talking about. And verse 20, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Again, this thing about your imagination We could go to Ezekiel 8. We could go to Jeremiah 17. We could go all over the Bible that condemns your thought process. That's not taking every single thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Because you think you can't. Or you think it's necessary to take thought. Take no thought for your life. Let's go to Ezekiel 36. Now let's go to Jeremiah 17 first.
Jeremiah 6. 17.
Jeremiah 17. In Hebrew, this is much stronger than it is in English, but it says in verse 7, "Blessed is the man that trusteth only in the Lord, and whose hope only hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, and who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The heart is deceitful above all things. It's not talking about your, you could just as well say the soul is deceitful, or the mind is deceitful above all things. Remember in Ezekiel, let's go to Ezekiel 8 first. The Spirit is bringing him into the sanctuary. And he brought me to the, in verse 7. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then he said unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping thing and abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jezaniah, the Antichrist, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. And that's just your thoughts. But they're not even yours. They're the thoughts of these idols, the 70 men. Then he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery or his imagination? For they say, The Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. What we are saying to God every single time we use any form other than faith to get anything, we are saying, God has forsaken me. The mind is deceitful above all things. Because It's of the prince of the power of the air. Any response? Do you believe there's some good in your mind? Gary?
Oh, not really. I mean, probably on an unconscious level, I think what I think is correct. But I'm probably wrong about a lot. And I know my mind is a...
It's a snake.
Well, it's just not true.
What's your response to that?
Well, it's a lot of responses, really. It's a battle.
What's the one that you just read? Bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. That's what's going on.
I think that is what's going on.
So you just say, Father, forgive me. And deny the machinations that you've used all your life. Find it. He knows your needs far greater than you, and you will find abundance more than you dreamed of in everything. But you've got to let this thing go. You've got to get a divorce with no visiting privileges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like pressure. Doesn't go instantly away. It's like it's elongated through this process of what's taking place.
Well, maybe, but I think that just extends the battle.
Well, I know the words. I mean, the words are there, and I'm not unaware of the doctrine, the words, the Father forgive me, the whole thing. But it's not like a game. You don't just do it that simple. It doesn't happen that simple.
It happens. I can only tell you what my experience was. It became more clear to me than anything in the universe, that conversion, the evilness of my mind. And that's why I could never again do anything to help myself, because that's all my mind tried to do. Now, I've said often that as a new believer, I repented probably hundreds of times every day, because my mind kept trying to take me away from faith. It still does, but normally I just ignore it. But everything in your mind, all these 70 men of the house of the Israel, all being manipulated by Saphon, the Antichrist, to make you believe that you have a life, they can all be shut down when Saphon's head is cut off. And I didn't realize that for a long time. I kept trying to battle with individual thoughts. And that didn't work. Because the Hydra, I didn't cut off the right head.
It's interesting, while you're talking, it's like it feels like that all I have is faith, because everything around me is not in order. And I can't. Make it different. I can only believe, but it just, things don't necessarily change instantly because I believe.
What is it that you believe?
I believe Christ is in me, and all the fundamental things we talk about.
believe that you are to, are you to take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ?
I do. I don't think of it even in those words, though. But when I'm stressed on a point, that's
when the emptiness happens.
Yeah, that's the point of denial of self, of that thought. But that thought jumps in there and tries to, get its roots in me. And I know it has to happen quickly, or I don't like roots of that nature. But I know this is the very same thing I'm sure you experienced it with the beginning of Trinity. There's no money, and you've
never had any money.
Yeah, never had any money. And
we did for a while after Primetime Live, but that didn't last long.
Yeah. But in my particular world right now, I've got commitments out to a lot of people, and money's behind the commitment. They've worked, and I got to pay. Got no money. And so what can I do? There's a weird thing happening with about 5 different jobs where I've finished the work, but the money doesn't.
Let me show you something. Go to Isaiah 30 again. It's predicted. Well, again, woe to them, the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my strength.
No.
Asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. Now, the shadow of Egypt is, as you may have denied the world, but you're still playing in the shadows.
Yeah, and that's why this meant a lot to me about having asked God in my mouth. Like, have I taken over my life and have left God out in these things? And probably true.
No, I think that's true, and that's the first time you've ever said that.
Yeah. And the first time I ever even thought of it or realized it or entertained it, it's like, well, did I miss something?
Yeah. And so this is the biggest it gets. I can't tell you. I'm in massive joy inside.
Yeah.
I've been waiting a long time for you to say that. And
I don't think God cares about anything but separation. I mean, this is what death is about.
Right.
When you do something separate from him, that's death.
Well, because you revive the one that is dead.
Yeah.
But I pray that you, that now that you return unto faith, and the confusion be gone, and the clarity and faith be perfected, and that become whatever you do with your hands shall never again lead you. Your work shall follow you and not lead you. And that's a biggie.
It is, yeah. And you got to let go of a lot of things for that to happen.
Amen. So in Jesus' name, it is done.
Amen.
All right. Good news. Take a big... I'll say that. I got an email from Gus and Jessica.